Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Great. Good morning. Where'd all that rain come early this morning? Overnight, it was just poured in places. We're going to have a mostly cloudy day with scattered showers indeed, and the high today about 84 degrees, some places 79. But the winds are west-northwest, so a little chill possibly in the air, 5 to 15 miles per hour. That's for the Kauai, Oahu, Maui, Molokai, Lanai. On the Big Island, there is a wind advisory until noon for the summits, and mostly sunny in the morning and then partly sunny. Scattered showers in the afternoon. Southwesterly and westerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour there. By the by, yes, golf is done across the state. Kauai yesterday played their last rounds of golf, but we're all going to get back to the golf course, and golf courses are going to be absolutely beautiful because the maintenance staff, they have an opportunity to do a whole lot of stuff, like at Bayview, and we're going to be giving away a $50 gift certificate to Bayview Golf Course during the show this morning so you can enjoy. Of course, there's also testing at Waipio Point Soccer Complex today on Oahu, 8 o'clock in the morning till noon, at the Hawaii Hilo Civic Center, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Now, the symptomatic people go first. Of course, you'll be screened. Only those asymptomatic people who've been in contact with someone who tested positive might go. But of course, everybody is screened. Okay, so that's what's going on across the state of Hawaii. Last night was our first of three nights of curfew from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. It was very quiet in town last night. It was probably very quiet everywhere, where everyone was off the road and not traveling unless they absolutely had to. Got a great show for you today. A lot of fun, a lot of interesting characters. We've got David Wood, author of Round the World in 80 Rounds, and he is also hosting a great show called Clubs Will Travel. Got Clubs Will Travel. I'm probably saying it wrong. It's that morning read, and we'll talk to him. Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, creator of the Golf Academy, Virtual Golf Academy, author of Realize Your Golfing Potential. He'll be on the show. Parker McLaughlin, PGA Tour. He's doing some teaching now. We're going to talk with him. And we're going to start off with Bob Bupka, the voice of golf on Talk Sport, host in the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Let's bring Bob Bupka, voice of golf from Talk Sport in the UK, and I think he was just on the air with Talk Sport not too long ago. Host in the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I've been listening to his show. You can find him at Audio Boom. Welcome into the clubhouse, Bob.
Well, thank you, Danielle. And, you know, I did my homework because I said, you know, that Danielle Tucker, she's probably going to ask me, what about the Masters happening in November? And I wanted to have a nice little surprise for Danielle Tucker. So why don't you just sit back and listen?
Okay. Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
What? The Masters year is going to be played in November. We certainly hope so. Your thoughts on that?
I think that the first thing that people are thinking about is what in the world is the weather going to be like then? I'm hoping for a dry week, Bob. I think it would not play as interesting if it was wet and windy and cold. You could get those conditions. Nobody knows. But you could get some beautiful conditions. But I'm just hoping it's dry because it always plays its interesting way. But I know this, that you'll have a set of circumstances that you'll have to apply and experience. Will, I think, be relied upon. And in mentioning that, I think last year when Tiger Woods won, his experience won out, and he played a beautifully balanced, mentally tough round, and his pursuers made a couple of mistakes at the wrong time, and he just kept playing. But I think that, watching him play these days, his balance just looked beautiful. He looks like he's healthy, and he just, that was a brilliant performance last year. And I don't know, we'll all have to prepare and see what's going to happen in November, but we're just elated that it's going to be played this year.
Well, you're probably an expert on this. You know, the Masters, people take care of every little detail, but apparently they've run into a little bit of a snag because the highlight of the Masters in April, besides the azaleas, are those beautiful birds that you hear singing in the background on the CBS coverage. Now, they have yet to solidify a deal to get those birds to sing in November. Their union contract says April, and now they're being asked to sing in November. I think they'll get it worked out. But anyway, Ben Crenshaw talking to Danielle Tucker. I hope you were surprised.
Oh, Bob, that was absolutely fantastic. I met Mr. Crenshaw at Century Tournament of Champions. What a gentleman. And I was just surprised. I am thrilled. Thank you so much for that moment. That was really something. And talking about the Masters, how cold will it be in Georgia on November 12th when they're playing? What's your guess?
You broke up a little bit, but I think you're asking me what the weather is supposed to be.
The chill factor. When we're talking about Tiger Woods playing, and, of course, he'll be defending champ, how cold will the temperatures be then?
Well, in looking it up, the average temperature is a low of 42 and a high of 65. So really not that bad. I mean, if we catch a break and just get the normal weather, it'd be 42 early in the morning, but certainly would warm up by noontime. It'd be around 60 degrees and for the remainder of the afternoon. So I don't think that's going to be any concern. Even when it's in April, Danielle, the way it's always iffy. You could get thunderstorms and rain delays, but we're just looking forward to it. I mean, the Masters in November, you talk about an early Christmas present, probably doesn't get much better than that.
No, it's fantastic. It's fantastic that they're playing. It's awesome, and the conditions will be different, and the scoring won't be, well, let's just say they won't be a whole lot under par. It's going to be, I think, a little tougher to play. I think the grass will be different. I think it's interesting what the PGA Tour and all the different sports getting together and having that under the table conference call with President Trump about when he wants the seasons to start, and he wants everything to be on time. I mean, I'm hearing about baseball being played in Arizona, bringing all the teams to Arizona to play with no fans in the seats, and all, you know, different stadiums hosting the different teams, and they have to stay in hotel rooms and just be shuttled back and forth. And then the NFL, would they really start on time? And the idea that the Charles Schwab Challenge at the Colonial will start May 21st to the 24th, then with the Rocket Mortgage and the Memorial, and then we hear the RBC Canadian is expected to be canceled. So much is being put in trying to put something together. How much do you think that what they've put out so far with of course the Players Advisory Council getting together on Tuesday? How much of you is this realistic?
Well, you know, Danielle, the important thing is if golf is being played at these dates that they have selected. Yes, it's important that golf's being played. But the far greater message would be delivering to the people everywhere that this virus has left us, you know, for the time being. And that's the major concern.
Yeah, we are having
Everybody's had an opportunity, Danielle, over the last couple of weeks to, kind of focus on what's really important and things you may have thought important a month ago probably not quite that important right now. So I think golf would be the beacon of light for everybody, and we can only hope and pray that it does run its course as predicted, and we get on with living our lives. We're probably never going to live them the way we did, because there's going to be a new normal, but it could even be for the better.
Yeah, absolutely. More of the focus we are on our families, our friends, and not rushing around without thinking about, what's important, the closeness that we have with one another. Sometimes it probably feels like we're just a little bit too close. Yeah, give me some space. But, we're all learning to enjoy and probably get to know each other a whole lot better. With the Masters, November 12th, it's exciting to also see that the U.S. Open will be played September 17th, and that's going to be at Winged Foot, a different kind of environment as well, just like the Memorial, rather the Masters being played at Augusta, the different kinds of weather conditions for the U.S. Open. What do you hear about that?
Well, born and raised not too far from Winged Foot, out on Long Island. I've played Winged Foot many times. It's one of the great golf courses in the country. Anybody will tell you that. It'll be a little bit different. It'll be in the fall, but quite frankly, sometimes the best weather that part of the New York gets is during the fall season. So hopefully it'll be ideal.
Okay, and the FedEx Cup, it's kind of different this year. Do you think there'll be an asterisk on the FedEx Cup? Because there's so many events that don't have points leading up to the FedEx Cup Championship. We'll, of course, have the Wyndham, the Northern Trust, the BMW, and then the Tour Championship at East Lake. All of that is on schedule beginning in August, going through September 3rd with the Tour Championship. Your thoughts on the FedEx Cup Championship?
Well, let me ask you this. If you were to win... and you got $15 million deposited in your bank account, and there was a little asterisk next to that $15 million deposit, do you think you'd mind?
No, of course not. I'm just looking at how the points are accrued, all the different wins and the different second, third, fourth, fifth place all gets points that eventually gets you to be able to be that number 30 that gets in. And it's just interesting to see how this is shaping up. It's just like the Ryder Cup with Patrick Harrington, among others on the European side, saying, let's just do all captains picks. So let's just pick all 12 captains and then we'll just play like that. We haven't heard anything like that from the U.S. side. And I thought that was an interesting way to go since we don't have much of a season to base points on.
Yeah, no, and I kind of like the idea of Steve Stricker for the United States team, Patrick Harrington, pick 12 guys, whoever they want, whoever they think is best equipped to get the job done. Because once that opening tee ball's hit, nobody really remembers anyway whether how anybody got, whether they got on with points or whether they were a captain's pick. Really doesn't matter. It's how they play that week. And I think it will put a lot more pressure on the captains to make sure they make the right choice. But both those guys are so highly qualified. Stricker and Harrington, two of the classiest acts ever to play professional golf. I think whoever they pick will certainly represent their sides very well, and I think it's going to be very exciting there in Cola, Wisconsin. Herb Kohler really wants to put on a showcase for the planet, and everything will be first class. I can guarantee you that.
What do you think of the idea that we start playing with no fans?
Well, TV is it rules golf anyway. It's great to have fans. But given the choice of, 40,000 spectators or fans or patrons if you're at the Masters, or having live television that's reaching millions and millions of people all over the world, the actual ideal scenario, if you only could have one or the other, everybody would choose TV because more people would get to watch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's not, you know, it's not like we're seeing stadiums empty. That would kind of be weird, but still we'd get to see the games, and it would be like now games instead of watching reruns, which is frankly driving me crazy, but at least it's something, right? So no fans in the stands would be weird, I think. I think no fans on the golf course is fine. This is going to be a challenging time for the TV people, the networks, and how they're going to put golf and football and baseball and all the different sports that are waiting, chomping at the bit to get back out there, put the schedule together. Have you heard much talk about that?
Well, you know, everything's really predicated on what we get from the leading health experts that have been gathered by President Trump. And, you know, they're working hard. Safety is going to be the main concern, Danielle. Certainly, seeing a golf tournament, if there's any risk of catching this virus, I don't think anybody would be that foolish. It's just not that important. And the well-being of everybody listening right now, that's paramount to me, that, you know, that you're safe, that your family's safe, that you have food to eat, there's a roof over your head. Those are the important things. Basically, it's really the only gravy.
Yeah, and it's nice how the USGA set up that emergency fund for the Allied Golf Associations, all 59 of them. It's just wonderful to see the giving back, you know, people who don't have anything right now, don't have a job, they can't go anywhere, and they have no income coming in, and they're wondering how they're going to keep the doors open or have them open when it's time to open them, and having that kind of the USGA getting in there. The USGA, though, depends a lot on that Fox contract that it has for all of its events, including the U.S. Open. So I think it's vital to them to be able to have the event go forth, and I think that September 17th date was a really good one. The PGA Championship, TPC Harding Park, August 6th. I'm looking forward to that. I love TPC Harding Park. It's gorgeous. And San Francisco, we're hoping everybody, of course, is out of the woods. And the PGA Tour made it very clear that they're going to be talking to all of the communities before they make a decision. They're going to go in and talk to the people who, you know, are affected in those communities and say, do you think it's a good time? With all the volunteers needed to put on a tournament, it's vital that they consider those kinds of aspects. It wouldn't be possible if they didn't.
No, you're right there, Daniela, and it's kind of ironic. You know, a year ago, the PGA of America made the big switch, saying that their event was going to be held in May, moving forward, giving up their August date. We've had one PGA in May, and right now, due to unforeseen circumstances, we're going to be playing it in August. So the least effective change of date is going to be the PGA Championship, because they're really used to playing in August. And also the Women's Open, really excited about. That's going to be played right here in Houston at a golf course called Champions, one of the great golf courses in the country. Jackie Burke is the head of that, along with his wife, Robin Burke. I'm happy that, you know, December U.S. Open Champion Golf Course, that's a great formula.
Isn't that right next door to your house?
It's pretty close. It's pretty close.
Yes, it is. And Mike Wan's done a fabulous job with the LPGA. They're going to start up in June, assuming everything is safe. Everything is an assumption, you know. It's a possible date. It's all predicated on conditions, because no one wants to put anyone in danger. That's not even a possibility. The PGA Tour did say that they would make sure that once they decided to go with something, they would give the players 3 to 4 weeks notice, because who knows what's, you know, you can say, okay, we're going to hold an event, but if you can't fly there to play, makes it pretty... There's so many things, so many variables, so many things that have to work right for everything to be together. Trevor Immelman will be our next President's Cup international captain. I thought that was cool. It's going to be played in North Carolina, Quail Hollow. That's still on for September 25th of PGA of America in charge of that one, and that means a lot to them too, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, Quail Hollow is one of the real magnificent golf courses, and just a moment ago you mentioned about airline travel. You know, Janice, our executive producer, who does such a great job, we had a meeting the other day. Airlines are not operating. The only way we can get to Maui for the Tournament of Champions is by sailboat. So we've been testing out some sailboats to see which ones we can get. Janice is voting in favor of a rowboat, but I'm afraid I'd have to do the rowing. So I'm hoping for a sailboat.
I remember seeing the two of you arriving from Waikiki, and one of those little cars was all... it was the most interesting little... do you remember that car that you came from Waikiki to the Kahala for the Sony Open in Hawaii? And I'm thinking that maybe something with those little paddle boats, you know, where you can do your own paddling the boat with your feet. You just that might work. Sailboats, we might lose you. Might end up in Australia. We might miss Hawaii. Bob Bupka.
I would never miss Maui, believe me. Believe me. It's our greatest trip of the year, and the people over there are so special, and I get to work alongside of you again. It truly is a highlight of my year. So we just wish everybody best of health. Be safe. Be smart. Hug your family. Stay in touch with other people that you can get a hold of on the phone, and continue to listen to Danielle Tucker. She does as great a golf show.
Bob, it was so cool that you...
Danielle, for having me on, and you enjoy yourself.
Thank you, and thank you so much. One of the highlights of my 22 years is Ben Crenshaw saying, "Hi, Danielle," and it's all because of you, Bob Bupka. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Bob Bupka's Voice of Golf on Talk Sport and host In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. We're going to come back. Parker McLaughlin's joining us. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
In response to the mayor's COVID-19 stay-at-home order that now includes golf courses, Bayview Golf Course is taking this time to make Bayview Golf Course even better. We're aerating the course, cleansing our new Top Tracer double-deck driving range, and getting ready for your return to the beauty and splendor of Bayview Golf Course, located on Kaneohe Bay Drive. You'll come back with Bayview Golf Course in even better condition. Until then, the best of health to you, your family, and friends. Bayview Golf Course, we're all in this together.
We put power at your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
This portion of the Golf Club is brought to you by Creative Plumbing. When your building's hot water system needs new life or a new high-rise system, new build or renovation, call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Futuristone's master craftsmen can turn your townhouse complex driveway and sideway into beautiful self-draining areas, adding to the value of your project. Turn your concrete floors into colorful masterpieces with Futuristone. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Okay, Parker McLaughlin, PGA Tour, welcome into the clubhouse.
Thanks, Danielle. Always great to be with you.
It's good to have you. We are usually sitting over at MidPack, you know, having a conversation. Unfortunately, everything, the MidPack Open is not going to be held this year. The Jenny K is not going to be held this year. Those decisions were made a long time ago. But, you know, Parker, we talk so much about you as a golfer, and of course, we're going to talk a lot more about you as a golfer and a teacher. But, you know, I think what's lost in everything is that you were a three-time state golf champ and a state volleyball champ. I you did everything during high school.
Danielle, I grew up in a family where, you know, volleyball and basketball was always sort of new. I was a gym rat long before I was a range rat. And so I was there for my dad's basketball practices and his volleyball practices, and volleyball was sort of my first true love, and then I sort of came into golf and that became my love, but volleyball and basketball were my first true loves.
Wow.
So yeah, I was lucky to be on a part of three great volleyball teams. At Punahou, and we won three state championships in a row there, which was pretty fun.
Yeah. And now, who brought you into golf? You ended up playing for UCLA, but who was the person who directed you into golf?
So it was actually, we weren't members at Wildlife Country Club, but we had some friends who were, and they all had kids that were my age, which was about 8-9 years old. And so They were doing like a group junior clinic down at Wiley. They were members at Wiley, and they needed an extra spot to be filled. I think it was like a 4 or 5 person sort of once a week clinic with Greg Nichols, the head pro there at Wiley at the time. And so they had asked me to come and be a part of it, and so I did, and I fell in love with it, and I love the. Just the individual aspect of it. You know, I was always part of a team, and I love that part of it, but I didn't really like the part about, you know, hey, if my teammate shows up 10 minutes late, I'm running lines because he showed up late. So I like the individual part of it where, you know, if I worked hard and played well, then, you know, I reap the rewards. And if I slacked off and played poorly, then that was on me as well. And so I like that individual aspect of it where you are responsible for your success and your failure.
Yeah. And it, a lot of kids prefer not being on a team because then if they let the team down, they feel totally responsible and horrible. And that's the part of golf that's cool, that if, you know, you're playing well, it's, and if you're not playing well, then you haven't hurt anybody.
Yeah. But I think it's, and again, I tell junior golfers these days, I say, you know, play every sport because being on a team, you know, that type of stuff will help push you. You know, you'll have teammates that will push you. Whereas in golf, you know, you're either self-motivated or you're not. You know, sometimes your parents might motivate you, but I think being on a team, you know, that there is a part of it where you can have your teammates push you. And help you get better and motivate you to get better. So that part of it is great as well. So play all the sports that are available to you. Don't just start playing golf at 6 years old and then play nothing else by the time you're 8 years old and just focus on golf. I think that's a terrible recipe. And I think you have to experience these other sports because it, you know, not only you know, socially. But it also helps you physically, mentally, works on your coordination, and so I think it's like the cross training aspect of it is wildly undervalued. So I think it's a huge asset to be able to play those other sports to help your, if you want to play golf in the future, to help your golf get better eventually.
You see, okay, grandparents, parents, kids, this is Parker McLaughlin. Okay, he's a PGA Tour champion, so take heed. important message, Parker. Now, I was looking at the VIP Golf Clinic. featuring Parker McLaughlin, PGA Tour winner, learned from a PGA Tour professional. So, you know, I didn't read it as much as I should have, because when I went down, Parker's accomplishments, of course, won the Reno Tahoe Open by 7 shots, won on the Hooters, Tight Lies, Spanos, Gateway Tours, finished 10, tie 10 at Sony Open at the 2008 Sony Open Hawaii. And as I go down, it says currently coaches PGA Tour winners Kevin Streelman, Max Honma, Aaron Oberholzer, LPGA Major Champion Anna Nordqvist on their short games and putting. When did you start teaching?
It's kind of a funny story. I played 4 events in a row this summer on the PGA Tour, and I shot under par every week. All 4 weeks, and I missed 4 cuts in a row. And to me, I was like, man, I didn't play poorly this summer. I shot under par every week, but I missed every single cut by 1 or 2 shots. And so at that point, I said, I might need to look into finding sort of a side thing to do, or something else to, you know, this tournament golf thing is as decent as I'm playing it. I'm not getting the success that I know I should be getting or could be getting. And uh-huh. So I might need to figure out something else to do. And so as I kind of went, racked my brain, I'm like, well, I don't really want to be, go into commercial real estate or go into insurance sales or anything like that. I said, what am I great at? And I've always been great at putting. I've always been great at short game. And I've just, that's just been my strength, my whole career. And so I thought, you know, maybe I'll put a few videos on Instagram and, about short game and just kind of see what happens. And so I did. And 2 days later, I get a phone call from Kevin Streelman, and he said, hey, I see you've been doing some short game teaching. I want to spend a couple hours with you. I said, oh, all right. So anyway, just sort of progressed. And he's, after a couple of lessons, he says, I'd like to hire you as my short game coach for the year.
Wow.
I was like, well, all right, I guess that. And so, Max Homa kind of found me the same way. He had seen my videos, and so anyway, we spent a couple of hours this in the off season. I haven't seen him since the new year, but I saw him in December for a couple hours, and then been working really closely with Anna Nordqvist, and she's improved dramatically. I'm really, really, really excited about her improvement, and hopefully they get to have an LPGA season this year, because I think she's going to do some really, really big things. That was sort of how it all started. And it's just sort of evolved. I haven't really pushed it that much. It's just sort of been all word of mouth. My true heart and desire is still in competing and playing, but, you kind of got to figure out a way to, this is sort of my sort of side hustle, so to speak.
Yes.
You got to figure out a way to make things work, you know?
Supplement the income.
Exactly. You know, it costs a lot of money to travel around and play and to chase Monday qualifiers and to play on tour when I do get in. This is another sort of a way to sort of supplement that. And it's fun. It's fun to share my knowledge of short game and putting and things I've learned through the years and share that. And I feel like, in all honesty, when I step on the sort of the short game area and teaching short game, I feel like I'm a top 5 instructor in the world. And I have no doubt about that in my mind. I can see it as clear as day as to what the problems might be that the player is having. And I figure out a solution really quickly. And it's sort of a puzzle in my mind that I sort of figure out and am able to help that player then give them the right tools to then start hitting great bunker shots, pitch shots, chip shots, whatever it is that they're struggling with, and be able to fix that in a really short amount of time.
What a huge sense of satisfaction. I mean, to be able to help somebody to find that thing that they can't figure out, and you be able to see it so clearly. That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, I think as a professional golfer. It's my career. It's a very selfish type of lifestyle, because, you know, it's always about, okay, I'm planning to, I need to get this amount of sleep. I need to practice this much. I need to schedule my days like this. I need to, you know, here's when I'm going to get my workout in and my mental stuff. And so it's all, you're always sort of planning around you and how you can get better and how you can be your best. And so it's a very selfish, you know, you have to be self-absorbed to be a successful professional golfer. And so to sort of shift out of that and to be in a spot of giving knowledge, giving information, and helping someone else get better, it's a different sort of shift in energy. It's kind of fun to kind of explore that a bit more. And I've had a really enjoyable time seeing these players like Anna, like Kevin, get a lot better, and know that I'm a part of that, and that I've helped them really get a lot better. And, you know, like Kevin Streelman finishing second at Pebble Beach this year, like that was really cool to watch him perform on Sunday under pressure after the 6 months of work that we had done to get his short game and his putting in the right spot.
That's chicken skin. That's you know, it's
yeah.
And then it fuels you too, probably. Do you see sometimes something that you've taught somebody in the process that's taught you something about your game?
Absolutely. Yeah, it makes me, you know, it makes me think more and try to come up with solutions, you know, for my own game as well. And so I think watching someone and then having to figure out the problem in my head and then having to deliver it verbally to someone, you know, there's a lot of levels of understanding and comprehension, and then the delivery that goes into, you know, figuring out that problem, finding a solution. And then, so with that all being said, I then do I've noticed doing similar things with myself, and okay, if I'm doing this, why am I doing that? And then almost talking myself through giving myself my own sort of lesson. But
uh-huh,
yeah, it's definitely helped.
Interesting. If you'd like to see Parker McLaughlin's videos on Instagram, he's at Short Game Chef. Like a chef in a kitchen, Short Game Chef. He's a chef on the greens. Short Game. Paul Azinger talks about you as being a great player, a great short game player. That's a huge compliment.
Well, I mean, he has been an incredible mentor for me for probably the last six years or so. He got me out of having the driver yips, and cleared my brain, and he's, you know, re-energized, you know, my short game and given me a number of different shots. He's probably in my humble opinion, he's the sharpest mind in all of golf. He's got the highest golf IQ of anybody I've ever been around. He's got that way of understanding the game, having dug it out of the dirt himself for so many years with his unique grip and his unique swing. You know, he had to dig his sort of style out of the dirt. He had to figure out his own game through trial and error. There was no copying. You know, he didn't copy anyone. He just dug it out of the dirt and he had to figure it out. And what I noticed after spending so much time with him was that he cataloged all these things that worked for him and that didn't work for him. So as he was trying certain things, he would catalog it in his brain of like, yep, this works under pressure. This doesn't work under pressure. And then he would kind of move on to the next thing and, oh, in the bunkers, you know, this type of a release works and this type of a stance doesn't work. And so he's, just through trial and error and just through cataloging these trials and errors in his head, and doing it at the highest level on the most amount of pressure, he's just been able to sort of figure out what works under pressure and why it works under pressure, And it's been a really a fun journey for me to listen to him and to learn from him, and he's just been an amazing mentor for a number of years.
Fantastic. So if somebody goes to Instagram at Short Game Chef, sees your videos and wants to get in touch with you, can they do that via Instagram? Do they just leave a message on the side?
Yeah. They can direct message me, and you know, in this sort of time of quarantine, you know, I've had people from all over the place, you know, send me videos of their chipping, pitching motion. And then I'm able to kind of go through and give them a lesson if that's what they want. And it's been fun to be able to connect with people from all over the world, really, that somehow find me and find my videos. And you know, it's been a fun little process, and it's fun to help people get better with Short Game, because the people that are looking me up are people that are really interested in getting better and in their short game and in learning. And so it's been a fun process. And like I said, I mean, seeing people get better, I actually played yesterday with two guys. Our golf courses are still open here in Arizona, and I was, you know, went up to play with them, and they these two guys that I had been working with, and both had come to me with the chipping yips. And one of them had taken three lessons from me, and the other one we just had one lesson. And so the guy that had taken three lessons with me he got up and down 6 out of 8 times, and it was phenomenal to watch. And he had no chipping yips, and it was amazing. And he was even like just so shocked and impressed at how well he was chipping. And then the other guy, you know, was still newer to sort of what I was teaching him. And so he bladed probably 4 out of 5, but then on the 17th hole he hit one good, and he's like, oh yeah, that feels so good. And so anyway, it was fun to, you know, for him to see the guy that was a little bit further along in the process, and know that there was some light at the end of the tunnel. And it's, you know, I mean, I've probably helped 5 people that have had the legitimate chipping yips, and help them progress out of the chipping yips and begin to chip the ball and pitch the ball with certainty.
You know? And with
having consistency,
having gotten yourself out of it, I mean, a form of yips, you could relate to that, and you're able to give back because of your experience, personal experience, knowing how it feels. You're able to speak in those terms. Awesome. Parker, this is so exciting. I'm so excited for you. So you can find Parker McLaughlin, PGA Tour, of course, member and player, but now he's teaching more. This is really exciting. Find him at Short Game Chef. That's on Instagram, and you can get in touch with him. And the next time you're in Hawaii, of course, everything will be back to normal, and you'll maybe have a clinic, and people can come and see you in person. That would be so much fun. Thank you for being on the show.
You got it. Thanks, Danielle. Be well.
And you too. Aloha. We've got Claude Brousseau coming up next, and we're going to talk with him. He's right here on Maui. But we want to give away, oh yeah, a $50 gift certificate. It's for Bayview Golf Course. Of course, our golf courses here in Hawaii are shuttered for the time being. The last play was, I think, yesterday on Kauai. So there won't be any play, none that I know of. And when everybody goes back to play golf, it's going to be fabulous, because the maintenance crews are going to have all that space. Nobody's going to be doing anything to their course. We'll be off. It's good for them. They love that. They'll be able to take care of stuff. So all you have to do is be the 9th caller, and the number is 545. 5-1-1-1-1. 5-4-5-1-1-1-1. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
You know, as we're doing the show, we're talking about playing golf, when we're going to play golf. It seems so self-absorbed, but we're dealing right now with the most serious health problem we've had since, I guess, 1918. If everyone could be tested and only those who tested positive were self-isolated or self-isolating, then commerce may be able to continue as usual. But and by the way, testing positive is not a blemish. It's just what it is, particularly if you've done everything possible to not be infected. But if it happens, self-isolating is critical to containing the spread. And testing, unfortunately, is not available on that large enough scale for everyone to be tested for whatever reason. And without testing everyone, allowing the virus to spread unblocked, the medical system becomes overwhelmed, like it is in New York City and could be happening at a hospital on Maui. What we're doing, the masks, the distancing, the staying at home, the halting of large gatherings, is in many ways exactly what some cities did, yes, back in 1918 when the Spanish flu struck. There were cities with far fewer fatalities than most, where their economies bounced back quicker than others. And after it was all over, they were asked, "What did you do? What did you do so that you didn't have to suffer as much as we did?" And they explained that they closed their schools, they stopped social gatherings, they put restrictions in place. So you see, what we're doing now, it is not the first time. And today we are much better equipped to make it through because we know what caused the disease, a virus. We know a virus, and we know about killing the virus with soap and water. So that's what we have to do, is just make sure that we keep our hands clean. Introducing Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, Director of Instruction, Wailea Golf Club at Wailea on Maui, which, of course, is shuttered right now. He's Golf Channel Academy lead coach. He's creator of the Virtual Golf Academy for your desktop or your device, and Golf Digest, best teachers in your state, as ranked by their peers. Claude Brousseau comes in number one. He's also author of Realize Your Golfing Potential, Unlock the Secrets of a Proficient Short Game, a Vision 54 coach, Aimpoint certified. And by the way, Claude Brousseau was a nurse before he became a golf instructor. Welcome into the clubhouse, Claude.
Hello, Danielle. Thank you very much for having me as a guest on your show. And I appreciate the introduction you did about how important it is to be responsible individually to stop the spreading, as you said. I spent a large portion of my nursing career as an ICU nurse, and then I have so much respect for the people right now, the doctors, the nurses, the respiratory technician, the people who go in the room and clean the room, and the first responder, you know, when people call 911. It's not fun, but it's easy to take responsibility, because with freedom, responsibility comes with it. If you want freedom, you need to be responsible to not spreading the disease. You just stay home. And we of course, we like to play golf, but the beauty is we can practice our golf in the house if you cannot go out because you don't have a backyard. But just be responsible in the think of the loved one that you can infect or the other people that are part of our Ohana, just stay home.
You know, and there's lots of things that people can do at home. They can do things they haven't gotten around to doing in a long time. It's funny, though, when you're in home, you know, sometimes being in home, you start losing your sense of purpose. You start losing your sense of body. You know, it's especially if you're in an apartment and there's not a lot of space to go outside in the yard. And I think a part of that is physically, without the activity, the brain seems to go bloop. Do you have any exercises that you can propose?
Yes, absolutely. So to help the brain to not go oops, like you said, on the wrong side of the thing, that for your mental health, is I think is having a routine is very important. So when you wake up in the morning, I will suggest make sure you dress. Don't just say like a, you know, in your pajama for the day, but and then make yourself a schedule for the day. So if like any challenge in life, when a challenge comes to you, you have a choice. You have a choice to look how you will react to it. So wake up in the morning, you make sure you do a little exercise, maybe the first 5 minutes just express your gratitude to the universe that you're healthy, your family are, send the love and gratitude to the people who are not, then get a program for the day. This way you say, okay, I'm doing this for 5-10 minutes, then the next 5 minutes I'm doing something else. So for golf, let's say if we bring that to golf, again, just get a game plan, say, okay, today I will practice 15 minutes in the morning and then 15 minutes in the afternoon, some exercise that I will share. So challenge, golf, I like to use golf, G-O-L-F, as game of life first. So when we are on the golf course, we have some challenge, so how we react and how we adapt to it. So that's the same thing with if you confine in an apartment. So just keep yourself physically. You can still do some just jumping jack in the apartment. You can do some yoga. You can do, if you have weight, if you don't have weight, just take a can of soup and, you know, work on your rotator cuff with some exercise. There's so much information on the internet that you can access. Now, if we go, so do a routine. So if we look at some more specific exercise for the golf, I would like to propose three different exercises. One will be for more physical. One will be more building a good memory of good shot that you did when you played. And then one will be for putting. So
why don't we start with, yes, go ahead.
Okay, so let's say we start with the physical one. We know how important it is when you play golf, either putting, chipping, pitching, iron play or driver, hybrid. How important is the club face? So that exercise is just taking this time off right now, because sometimes the ball slow down the learning process. So here, just take a club and then have an old pillow or a cushion. And then this exercise is to make you more aware of how you control the club face. So just take your normal grip. It's a slow swing. And then do the first swing, and then let's say turn your hands that, or the club face will point to the left, let's say. And then just hit softly the pillow and be aware of that sensation, what left feels like in the club face. And then do the next one with turning your hands the other way, let's say to the right. So now do it slow, feel the sensation on the cushion or on the pillow. Then now your brain will know what is left, what is right. And then, of course, you always finish by what you want to accomplish. Let's say more of a straight or perpendicular to the target line, club face. So do a few little swing, maybe five in a row, softly. It's not hanging it hard here. It's now you know what a straight club face at the moment of impact feels in your hands and wrists. Then I will say do some as well, eyes closed. Why eyes closed? Because if your eyes are closed, your brain has to get some signal from other places. So that means that you'll be more aware of your senses and what your hands and wrists are doing at the moment of impact and golf. So that's a good exercise that you can do. Do it, let's say, you better to do only, I will call that 10 repetition with purpose and mindfulness of what you do, than just go like automatic and not paying attention. So that will be the first exercise I would suggest you do.
And the second exercise about building your confidence?
Yes, because we all know how important confidence is when you play golf. However, it's difficult to be confident when you're incompetent. You know, that doesn't go together.
No.
Okay, so basically, just take a score card of the course that you play on a regular basis. Then, on every hole, just write the best score you had on that hole. Then add up the numbers at the end for 18 holes. If you had in the same round, I know you have not done it, but if in the same round you had expressed your full potential, what is your score? Just to give you an example, I played the Plantation course quite often. So I went, okay, number one, I made birdie. Number two, I had a hole in one. Number three, birdie, blah, blah, blah. And then the par at the Plantation course is 73. However, my best score on every hole, of course, I didn't do it the same way. However, the best score is 50.
Wow.
So that means, yes, that means that if I had by chance or, you know, been really, really good that day, I would have shot 50. So what that does for the player and your listener now, it shows them that they have the potential to have a good score and have more fun when they play. So here's the exercise. Take your score card. If you don't have it with you, I'm sure you remember all the holes of the course that you played the more often, and just sit on the couch or, you know, on the balcony or somewhere in your bedroom and just close your eyes and really, really pay attention to relive with as much emotion, as vivid as image as possible, every single good shot that you did on every hole. That's how we build confidence. So you will have a memory bank of good shots. So if you do that, this is a good way to, if we go a little bit earlier in the interview today, when you say, how do you make your brain not go tilted on the side you don't want? You see, if you get your brain on a task, like this task is building your confidence. If you do that, you will use that when you were able to go and play golf again.
Yeah.
So this is a very good exercise.
Yeah, because most of the time the brain wants to remember all the failures. And this, what you're asking the brain to do is go, okay, what's the best score I had on this hole, on this golf course? And I put, for the first hole, I put, well, the best score I had was birdie, and the best score on number two that I had a hole in one, like you said. So then by 18, all you're remembering is the best score you had on the hole for that one golf course. Didn't have to be on the same day. It's all the golf course time that you spent on that course. It's that's beautiful. Then you walk away going, I'm brilliant. I had a 50. I love it.
but you see, Danielle, we have, that's what your listener have to realize, and I'm sure many of them do, but we have the choice of the thoughts that we allow to play in our brain. It's a choice. we can take, I like to use an analogy here, like I'm old enough to remember the jukeboxes, you know, you just press on this button and this button and then the little record will play, and then if you don't like the music, you hit the button and reset and get something else. So we have a choice to stop the thoughts that are playing in our head and ask ourselves, okay, is this thoughts or these thoughts are productive or not? If they're not, hit stop and choose to have a different thoughts. Like in golf, always getting a replay in your head, the best shot you can will help you tremendously. I think I forget the name of the players, but I think he was in prison, or like when he was in, he played on the senior club. I forgot his name, but he was in the cell. And then what he did is he played golf in his head every day.
Yes.
Every day. And then when he finally came home from war, and then he went and played, and he shot even par that day. He had not touched a club for I don't know how long. So this exercise works. There is no doubt on this. So take the time to do it. And the beauty is you can do it anywhere, and it will help you to play better golf.
I want to do the final exercise on putting. And I like what you said in your summary. Too many players want to hit the ball while putting. I think that's the... You're not supposed to hit the ball. Tell me about that.
Yes. Basically, in putting, what we want to do is we want a constant speed at the moment of contact of the putter head with the ball. As you can see, I pay really attention of the word that I use. I'm talking about constant speed of the club head when the club head contact the ball. I'm not hitting. Why? Because if you try to hit the ball, and so many people think that they need to accelerate at the moment of impact. That's a misconception. It's very, very difficult to control your distance if you try to accelerate at the moment of impact. So what you want to do as an exercise to, again, be aware of what it feels like, because we learn by differentiation. Your brain has to know what is hitting and has to feel the difference on what is just swinging a putter. So everybody can grab their putter, just hold the putter straight up and down, holding it only with your thumb and index fingers of one hand. It doesn't matter which hand it is. And then with the other hand, take your index finger and just make the putter go in motion, I call that. So you will see the putter will go back and through, and pay attention at the bottom of the swing. What's happening there? What you will feel is nothing. The putter is going through the impact zone, I will call that, without you doing anything in that moment. So make sure you do that, let's say, 3-4 times, then put the ball on the carpet or on the floor at home, and then go ahead, take your normal setup, and then do the same sensation with the putter. And feel what's going in at the moment of impact. It's just a contact club ball. And then you will feel that if you want to jerk it or hit it, you will feel the difference. Mm-hmm. So that's another good one to do for putting.
Yes. And you can put something, you can always put it, like you said, a coffee cup down. You know, and look back at the ball, close your eyes, and swing the putter. Closing the eyes in the game of golf to practice is so empowering when you contact. You realize that if you could just sometimes not see, because seeing puts a lot of blocks in the way. It's like I'm looking at the ball, and for some reason, I swing not at the ball, and I swing at the ball. They're two different. My swing is perfect when I'm doing a practice swing. My swing becomes tight when I've got the ball that I'm looking at. So having your eyes closed sometimes, it reinforces that what you're doing is correct. And because there you go, you did it. You didn't have to see it. If you just trust, and you have to do that. You just have to trust.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly, Daniel. But be able to trust, you need to be, you need to have done some training. Because, again, it's hard to be confident or trusting when you're incompetent. And you, so you need to do some training. And then just I would like to share, because I always learn with everybody that I coach, one of the person that I coach, he was expressing like you, you know, when the ball is there, I want to hit the thing. So he says, and I say, what do you think is that? He says, Claude, you have to realize that us human being, we have over 15,000 years of training that when I got something in my hands, a tool, and I see something down there, it's either a threat or food. So I need to hit at it.
That's beautiful.
I liked it so much. I said, do you mind if I use that when, you know, I share it with other people? And then I think that's where the hitting comes from. We, the human brain, somewhere there is still have a little part in there that when you see something down there, when you get a tool in your hand, it's either a threat or food, so I need to hit it. That thought was funny.
That's great. This is Claude Brousseau, and when Wailea reopens, of course, you'll find him at the Wailea Golf Club. In the meantime, you can go to virtualgolfacademy.tv. virtualgolfacademy.tv. Watch his extensive library in HD video. The quality is amazing, broadcasting all aspects of the game. You can watch Claude Brousseau, and when they open up, he's at Wailea Golf Academy at the Wailea Emerald Golf Course. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Danielle. Stay safe and healthy.
You too. You too. And thank you for all you do. We're going to come back, and David Wood is going to take us around the world in 80 rounds, or maybe we'll just watch how clubs will travel. It's on Morning Read. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
In response to the mayor's COVID-19 stay-at-home order that now includes golf courses, Bayview Golf Course is taking this time to make Bayview Golf Course even better. We're aerating the course, cleansing our new Top Tracer double-deck driving range, and getting ready for your return to the beauty and splendor of Bayview Golf Course, located on Kaneohe Bay Drive. You'll come back with Bayview Golf Course in even better condition. Until then, the best of health to you, your family, and friends. Bayview Golf Course, we're all in this together.
We put power at your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
We are KPUA Hilo, K-O-R-L-Y-N-I, Honolulu, K-O-N-I, Lanai City, and K-T-O-H, Kalaheo. Congratulations, Bill, from Pukalani on Maui. You have won the $50 gift certificate, Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe. You know, June 2nd is the virtual Women's Golf Day. Virtual. It's a digital celebration. Go to womensgolfday.com. And I just want you to know, Diana DeLucia, she's got her magazine up now. It is live. The digital version is up live now at golfkitchen.com. Golfkitchen.com. This is her semi-annual beautiful magazine. Lots of great recipes for you to try out. Of course, because what else are we going to do? We're at home. We've got lots of time to cook in the kitchen. David Wood, author of Round the World in 80 Rounds and host of Have Clubs Will Travel on Morning Read, seems to have a lot of time to go play golf. Welcome into the clubhouse, David.
Oh, thanks, Danielle. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, we actually don't have a lot of time to play golf right now, but we can watch your videos. And I went straight to, of course, Kauai. The Have Clubs Will Travel on the Morning Read or Morning Read, morningread.com. On Twitter, it's The Morning Read. So if you're going to go look for Morning Read, either it's morningread.com or The Morning Read. David Wood authored Round the World in 80 Rounds, but he's also got this great Have Clubs Will Travel, the Kauai edition. I love how you started. Is there any place on earth with golf courses more beautiful than in Hawaii?
My notion was, you know, I mean, Hawaii is the most remote populated place on earth, and in my travels, the most beautiful places are always the ones that are farthest away. And Kauai, I just love the island and the golf there. You know, and it's funny, the last gentleman was talking about playing with your eyes closed. When I played Poipu Bay the last time, I could not hit a bunker shot out of the bunker. And so I started closing my eyes and hitting the ball out of the bunker, and it worked like a charm. And so I go back to that every now and then.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, it really
is.
Yeah. When you just get the mind out of it and just let the body go. What's cool about this piece that you did on Kauai golf courses is that you add an element of history, you know, that the Hawaiian people came from the Marquesas first, you know, and that there are 10 to 14 microclimes. The planet has 14 microclimes, and there are 10 of them here in Hawaii. And you talk about lots of different things in addition to the golf courses that you're enjoying, you know, the heiau that are there, and that's definitely unplayable. You don't go in there. It was fun. So you played Princeville, Wailua, the municipal course, the ocean course, yep, at Hoku'ala, and Poipu Bay Golf Course.
That's right. I just love it. I just love it all. Kauai is one of my favorite places on earth. And, you know, it's like in my book, Around the World in 80 Rounds, you know, a golf course, in essence, is a golf course, right? A fairway is a fairway. But it's kind of the stuff that's all around the golf course that I find even more interesting sometimes than the golf. You know, and it's like the 16th hole on Poipu Bay there, right next to the sacred ground, and just that spot on the globe. And I remember I just stood in the middle of the fairway and go, oh, my word. What a place, just so beautiful and peaceful, and I just loved it.
Yeah, and the power, you really do feel it. It's very spiritual. I want to ask you, the book that you wrote, Around the World in 80 Rounds,
yep,
that took a year?
It did. I had this crazy idea. I was living in Seattle at the time. I now live in New York City here. I'm in the epicenter of this whole coronavirus. But I was in Seattle, and I thought one day, what's the southernmost golf course in the world? I had no idea, and near as I could tell, it was Ushuaia, Argentina, the very southern tip of South America. But then I thought, where's the northernmost? And near as I could find, it was Tromsø, Norway, about 15 degrees above the Arctic Circle. And then I thought, you know, that'd be a cool trip. What if some idiot was to travel from one to the other? And literally within 40 days of having that idea, I had sold my condo in Seattle to fund the trip.
Wow.
I put 10 golf clubs in my golf bag, and I put just, you know, a few shirts and a few travel items in my golf travel bag, and I made my way down to the southern tip of South America. And then my whole plan was to spend a year traveling west and then end up at the top of Norway in a year. And then I came back, and, you know, I didn't have a book deal or anything. And I lived in the Monterey Peninsula for a while with the rest of my money that I had, and it was just dwindling. And I wrote the book Around the World in 80 Rounds, and then I got an agent, and it sold. And so that's kind of all it all happened. But it was all just me just, you know, acting on this crazy notion.
And when you were traveling, how did you travel to some of the remote areas? Tell us.
Well, you know, it's so, you know, my hero is Paul Theroux, who now lives in Hawaii. He's a travel writer. And I always wanted to take trips like Paul Theroux, where it was, I tried to go overland as much as I could. Now, when I went between continents, I would fly. But I tried to make the travel not difficult, but a lot of times it was difficult. I mean, in South America, I took a bus up and over the Andes, this little rickety kind of almost like a school bus that going over the Andes at 16,000 feet, and I got severe altitude sickness.
Oh.
I took trains, and, you know, for example, I love trains. I try to take trains whenever I could. And I was going from Delhi to Bangalore in India, and I thought I had my own sleeper car, sleeper berth. And I get to the train station, and I'm sharing it with a family of four and a chicken. And the chicken is just hopping around. And I became a member of the Singh family for 2.5 days, going down the throat of India. And it was so funny. You know, I became like a family confidant. And every time the other family members would leave, they would complain to me about the other family.
Of course. Their shrink. You became the shrink of the family. That is so cool. Did you share meals together?
Yeah, they served the meals right in the compartment, and it was great. But at the time, you know, I was very tired, and India is a very difficult travel. At least it was for me. And so I was thought, like, oh, I can just have my own little sleeping thing. I'll just rest. I'll take it easy.
Right.
No, that didn't happen.
No, of course not. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong.
right.
So when you, goodness, that was that the Peru one sounds like the scariest one. The family just bizarre. What was the best? What was the most, the least inconvenient?
Oh, my word. I mean, just, well, the moment of finishing it. I mean, there were worse things. I mean, I got arrested at the Ukraine border, and I was held overnight by armed guards because I didn't have a visa to go through Ukraine on the way to Russia. And that was a little scary. But there were so many great moments. I mean, and I got to see, you know, and I wanted to see the great sights of the world as well. You know, I saw that, you know, Taj Mahal, even though I was incredibly sick, or the pyramids. The first time you see the pyramids, oh, my word, it's just, you know, wow. You know, it just blows you away. But I parred, you know, nobody cares about somebody playing golf well. But I, on my final hole, it was a par three at the top of Norway, and I was nervous. And, you know, I wanted this to be, I wanted to end, you know, as well as I could. And I made a par on this par three. And I remember I put the ball in the, you know, the ball in the hole. And I was just that feeling of just accomplishment that I had, you know, I had traveled for a year. I had put myself out there and saw, you know, the whole world. I ended up playing 80 rounds of golf in some of the most obscure golf courses on earth. And just that feeling of satisfaction was, it was really joyous.
Yeah, I bet. I can hear it when the ball drops in the hole, and it's like, yes!
Yeah, I don't want a bogey. And I had like a two-footer. You think I was putting to win the Masters.
Yeah,
I mean,
you were.
I was so nervous.
You were.
And thankfully, yeah. Thankfully, it went in.
Yeah. And now you've taken your around the world in 30 rounds experience, and you're moving on to the morning read, Have Clubs Will Travel. How did this start?
It started, basically, I was approached about doing this show, and I do some golf public relations as well, but this is strictly just what I love, and I wanted to make a entertaining, funny, informative show, kind of like my idea was like Bill Nye the Science Guy, except about golf, and that was my basic idea, and the show is basically just things that I love. There's no other, you know, I picked the spots, and it's like, you know, the old course is St. Andrews, which is my favorite course on earth, and you know, and I've done them on the other courses in St. Andrews. I did an episode on Northern Ireland, the courses in and around Portrush, Port Stewart, and Castle Rock, which I love there. Northwest Ireland, which is, you know, maybe one of my top two or three favorite regions in the world to play golf. I did one on Enniscrone and Carn there, which are these two dramatic, beautiful golf courses. I did one on PGA West in Palm Springs, which I have long loved, even though it beats the heck out of me. Torrey Pines, North and South, which I played forever back when I used to be a stand-up comedian in Los Angeles. I used to go down to San Diego and play those courses all the time. Kauai, of course, which we talked about. And right now I'm shooting the Pebble Beach episode, which will be out in about a week and a half.
Wow. Gosh, you get to travel, do 5-6 minute episodes, and then go to the next fabulous destination, and somebody's picking up the tab.
Well, not per se. These are all places I've played in the past, and then basically we're using. I film my part here in New York City, and then we use footage and graphics and things like that. So we're kind of cobbling it together that way. But they're just places that I love.
Okay.
And
yes.
And that's what it's all about. And, you know, it's the people and the history. And I like to talk about architects and, you know, just stuff that intrigues me.
Yeah. Well, I had Robert Trent Jones Jr. join on the show a couple weeks ago talking about Kauai and, in particular, the Prince course. You played the Mackay course, or you featured the Mackay course, right?
I sure did. I sure did. That's right.
Yeah. Yes, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say I have a funny story about Mr. Jones. After my book came out, I did a talk at the Golf Course Architects annual dinner. And, you know, I used to be a comedian, so I have some stage presence. And so I followed a guy who was talking about mowers and about, you know, golf course mowers. And I went up and I did very well. They were laughing at my joke. You know, it was fantastic, right? And it's all these architects in the audience who I'm big fans of, right? I mean, it was surreal for me.
Yes.
And so after I talked, they all had a copy of my book. And they're lined up there for me to sign their book. And I look down, and there's Robert Trent Jones Jr. is in line for me to sign his book.
Wow.
And I'm going, this is surreal.
That's wonderful.
You know, it was wonderful. And he was so kind and gracious to me. But it was just a wonderful experience.
Yeah, he's telling us because there was a terrible storm on Kauai, and the Prince course was damaged severely.
Sure.
Like but it's been repaired. And
oh, beautiful.
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I was afraid we'd never see it again, but there seems to be hope. So that's hope springs eternal. Fantastic. So you're in the middle of New York.
I am.
You know, we hear and we see these pictures on the news, and it's rather overwhelming thinking that I have five young friends in their 20s, you know, mid to later 20s. They've all graduated from great colleges. They're all working in Manhattan or someplace like that. And how is it living there now? What's it like?
Well, it's a little weird in that I was down in the Dominican Republic playing Teeth of the Dog on March 12th. I got back to New York City on March 12th. And so since then, I've been holed up in I live up on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And I think I've only been out of my apartment for like six times since March 12th, and those were just to go out and get groceries and hurry right back. And so it's very eerie to walk around in just even the brief times that I've walked around, and there's not many people on the sidewalks, the traffic is way down. And, you know, I'm pretty much, you know, a shut-in with my apartment. But the only bad thing, you see the news, but you do hear sirens a lot. There's lots of sirens all the time, and that's a little unsettling. But, you know, other than that, there's a great spirit in the city. And then every night, every evening at 7 p.m., everybody opens their windows and screams and shouts and yells for all the medical people.
Oh.
Which is like this wonderful evening ritual now. And, you know, it makes me cry
Yes. Almost
every time, right? And
Yes.
it's just so joyous and such a release of, like, positive energy in a very strange time.
Yes, because I watched, you know, the news when you saw in Italy or in Paris where the windows would be opened up. Like the old days, you know, and
sure.
People would be communicating, and in this case, they were singing, you know, to be a community. Hey, we're here. We're together. We're in this together. And to hear that that's happening in New York brought tears to my eyes, and to be thanking the people who are taking care of us so selflessly, just jumping into the fray. We had nurses going from Honolulu in relative safety, you know, and then traveling to a hospital that's having some problems on Maui. They're just putting themselves out there and without question. And it's amazing that when you feel the need to give of yourself, regardless of the danger that you may be in, it's such a selfless act that it's you just have to get down and say thank you so much for being there and for supporting us and for being there for us. David Wood, author of Round the World in 80 Days, host of Have Clubs Will Travel on Morning Read. If you're feeling shut in and you'd like to look out and your window's getting boring, you can go to morningread.com and you'll see all these great travelogues, video series, Have Clubs Will Travel. And check out number 5, I think it is. It's Kauai, and Kauai looks glorious, as it usually does. Thank you for being on the show. I hope I haven't left something out, David.
No, it's all fantastic, and thank you for having me, and be well.
Be well, indeed. And, you know, we're with us, and we're with you in spirit, all by yourself in your room, in your apartment. So you've got...
Well, thank you.
You got a lot of company right now, okay? Thank you very... We're all crowding in to say hi.
I love it.
You have a great day.
Thank you.
Aloha. We're going to thank the people who make this show possible. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips at Aloha Power Equipment, the Honda Superstore. That's Aloha Power Equipment. Yes, power outages can hit without warning. And with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment, you'll never be left in the dark. You know when it rains? Well, it poured overnight, and we've got rain in the forecast, and it's been raining, and sometimes it doesn't have to flood for the water to get into your house, and sometimes you don't even realize it got into your house. Sometimes it comes from upstairs, you know, the apartment upstairs, or it can even come from the roof of the building, and water finds a way, and all of a sudden you're going, what is that smell? It's, God, I can't. So you call Oahu Extraction, 330-6 for a free thermal read. Their state-of-the-art hydrometer. Call Oahu Extraction, and they are COVID-19 ready. Okay, so they've taken the precautions. They're ready to come into your house and not bring in with them what you're so many people are afraid, and rightly so. We need to take precautions, and that's what Oahu Extraction is doing. And at Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe, Hawaii's best value in golf, with the double deck driving range and the top tracer at each station at no extra charge. Well, they were open, but now they are not, because the COVID-19 precautions are in place. And so what they're doing is taking care of the golf course. And when it is time to reopen, they will reopen in even more beautiful condition than they were in already. I mean, the greens at Bayview, they've done so much work there to bring it into the beauty that it is now. I want to remind you that if you have symptoms and you're frightened, they are doing testing at YPO, and that's going to be today. And they're also testing Hilo Civic Center at YPO. It's 8 until noon today. At the Hilo Civic Center, it's 8 until 3 p.m. Of course, symptomatic people go first. Everyone is screened. Asymptomatic people have been in contact with someone testing positive. Also go. You'll be screened as well. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2020.